Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That number again, 603-283-6160.
Oh, that number again, oh.
It's a letter.
Oh. Is it your O face?
If things go my way, I'll be showing her my O face. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. We have a caller on the line, and of course, we need to do something for... Hang on, we're going for the LP version.
Here waiting for the next question. But all we get is Steve's conspiracy obsession. He thanks the world's a big old government scheme. Well, it's just another day on the radio, it seems. All in Steve.
That's right. Hey, Skeeter, turn down your phone.
Turn down your radio.
Or your radio, yeah, not your phone. Turn down your radio. Skeeter, come on.
Is he playing his own theme music now?
He is, yes. He's playing it back for us like 7 seconds later or whatever the delay may be.
Yep.
That's Skeeter, a faux pas. That's a radio faux pas.
Are you there?
Yeah, extremely gullible. You hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. What's on your mind?
Why are you guys so gullible? Why do ANCAPs?
Why are you so gullible?
Like Bear Arms, Christopher Gronsky, David Champion, and the Sovereign Citizen, Jane Hoon.
What's
in your boy? The Evolutionary Capitalist. You guys owe income taxes as federal citizens of this Homeowners Association of the United States of America. I have a law degree from University of Phoenix, which is bachelor's of degree.
And you
come from that vending machine you call Gonzaga University.
That's great. At least he's being funny today.
Why do you guys entertain that bull stuff?
Well, because free speech, right? Free speech requires
you... You're encouraging your listeners to tax
me. Hey, you asked a question, buddy.
You understand that, right?
Pal, I'm trying to answer your question.
Friendo.
Thank you. Okay. The answer to your question is free speech means that all viewpoints should be able to be heard.
I want to also go on record, and I've said that if you try those things, you will likely fail. So I don't know how gullible you think I am.
Do you bring on fraudsters to pitch their Ponzi schemes?
Sarah calls it all the time.
Damn pyramid schemes, don't you?
Well,
is that what Free Talk Live is?
Have you heard Sarah call in? Richie Rich makes that point, Skeeter. Have you heard?
Yeah, I heard a call in, but...
No, I'm sorry.
Butta?
You can't use Major Payne's terminology,
you
man.
You just said butta.
I'm sorry.
Butta.
I can't.
Butta.
No. No. Nobody but Major Payne gets to use that one. Sorry. Unless we're making fun of Major Payne, we do it.
So, here, again, this is personal experience.
I hung up on him.
I know. Okay. But for everybody else still listening, some of what they say.
Who's is, they? Wait, who's they?
Dave Champion, oh, okay. Chris Gronsky, the other ANCAPs.
Bear Arms,
Bear
for
arms,
that matter.
Whatever, yeah, whatever. Right, yeah. Yeah. Some of what they say is based in truth.
Yes.
Long ago. Right? Like at one point in time, if you did not cross the bar in the courtroom, they may not have had jurisdiction. Right? And a buddy of mine, he just telegrammed me a couple days ago, said, I got my case thrown out. I challenged from without passing the bar and not going through. And, you know, this was like a month-long process of going back and forth. This was like COVID stuff when you have to zoom in. Mm-hmm. He's like, they just threw it out.
Wow.
I tried all these things, and they finally just threw it out. I don't know why they threw it out. And I went, well, it's probably not from all the garbage things you tried, right? There was probably something else in there that allowed
technicality
them,
or something.
Well, something. Well, yeah. Or
but they will take credit for it.
Or they were just tired of dealing with him and were like, you know what?
Yeah.
Either way.
He's wasted it's way just, more of our time than we ever thought he could, and so we're tired of him.
Either way. But they will get victories, and they will attribute those victories to the methodology that they espouse, right? Even though it has nothing to do with it. Now, personal experience, right? I have gone to court, and one of the things that I do when I go to court is I don't say or pronounce my like legal last name.
Okay.
They call my name and they say like, "What's your name?" And I go, "I am Rich." And they go, "What's your last name?" And I tell them how they spell it. And you guys spell it like this. And at one point in time, like, you know, the judge was having none of this.
Oh.
Right. He said, "Stand over there." And so I stood to the side and called my name and the legal entity again.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm here, right? That's your name for me. I'm here. He's like, shush, 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 shush. Like, shush,
shush, shush, shush, shush, shush, please.
And I went, all right, well, let's see where this goes.
Okay.
Right? And so he called the name like a third time and then declared in court for the court record that the entity was not present. The legal fiction, the corporate all-cap spelling of my legal name was not there. And then he's called me again, Rich, like, approach.
Mm-hmm.
Do you appear on behalf of the legal entity?
Oh.
I went, yeah. Let's see where this goes. And the legal entity has been fined or whatever, and are you going to do the community service on behalf of the legal entity? I went, sure.
Oh, you did?
Well, this is the first time for me, man. Like,
oh, you know, yeah. Like,
why didn't you say no?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see where this was going.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, if it happens again, I'll probably say no,
no
just
I'm not,
to see where it
no.
goes down. You know, this is a fork in the road.
Like, I just kind of know you a little bit, and I'm thinking Richie Rich doesn't want to be doing this.
I don't want to be doing it. But when they go to arrest the legal fiction, they're going to put handcuffs on me. Right?
Because you represent the legal fiction that is
whatever,
there. Like, okay,
whatever.
Man.
But this was a new fork in the road,
right.
And I went one way, and if I get to that fork again, I will take the other fork.
It's like playing Candyland.
Right. Yeah. Chutes and ladders, right? Sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down. But so I literally, by the court's own records, did the human being Rich, right, did community service on behalf of the legal fiction.
The legal name.
Yeah. Of how they spell my name. That's like, that's on the record somewhere in Hawaii.
Wow.
Right?
So that's precedent.
I don't know if it's precedent, because this is probably something that's established long ago in the 1800s or whenever Hawaii became a state, in the 1900s. But either way.
57? 59?
58. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I was told there'd be no math.
But point being, with the English tradition.
Right.
But like, some of this stuff seems to be legit. And I have personal first-hand experience of some of it being legit in some form or fashion. Now, did I get away with anything that day? No, I still did the community service.
Yeah.
Right? So, like.
But you have first-hand knowledge.
But I have first-hand knowledge.
Yeah.
So the judge is probably thinking, well, this will get him to do the community service without putting up a fight.
Right.
He gets to have his little, you know, fantasies about the sovereign citizen movement.
Ha 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 joke.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was his way of just pressing it through. Mm-hmm. Right? That's likely, objectively, that's likely what happened. Right, but if I'm a sovereign citizen, I go like, look at this. They clearly separated the legal entity from the man.
Ah,
there's something to this, right? And then they go down the rabbit hole and they dig deeper and they come up with weird old theories that sometimes work and sometimes don't. Right. You know,
so you got that on your side.
Sure, but when it works, there's no consistency of when it works that you can attribute back to the technique that they're using.
But if you did not do the community service for the legal name, they would have taken you out in handcuffs.
They would eventually come back for the man.
Right.
They would like, legal entity, you are under arrest. I'd say, well, I'm not the legal entity. Well, we're going to arrest you on behalf of the legal entity.
Right.
And I get arrested nonetheless.
Right. Right.
Right. So what difference does it make?
Yeah.
You know, they've got the guns and the cages, mm-hmm. right? You're going to end up there at some point if you fight them properly, you know, if you fight them
enough.
Improperly, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. So we entertain the theories because they're great in theory. They're terrible mm-hmm. in practice.
Right.
Right, Bear Arms, you know, for all of his claims, right? Like, I don't pay taxes, and here's the documents that I filled to get out of it.
Right.
Go ahead, fill out the documents. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah. The worst that can happen? Jeez.
Yeah. Well, you fill out the documents, they go like, this is BS. Pay your taxes.
Right, right. So that's the worst that can happen. You got to pay, and then if you don't pay, well, then...
Right. Yeah. So you might as well try everything at your disposal
to get out
to be able to minimize the damage that the state's going to do to you. When you get attacked by the state... You're going to lose no matter what.
Right.
Now, how much of a fight do you want to put up? You want to put up enough fight to like take the minimal amount of damage that you can. But the state is capable of doing the greatest damage to you, ending your life. Right.
Right.
So, you know, anything less than you know, or not anything less, but like you want to minimize the damage as much as possible. You're going to lose. You're not going to win when you go against the state. It's just how it is.
But if you have a $10 parking ticket or a $20 parking ticket, and you contest it, you've already used up $20 where that money would have gone to. You've wasted it from the state.
Have you seen the footage of the bunnies contesting?
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
So if you owe $5,000 in taxes, well, then tie them up for $5,000 worth of their services.
The trouble is you're also tying yourself up for that period of time.
Right.
And your labor is not free.
Yeah. And would they charge, like, if they found you guilty of owing the money, would you have to pay for their lawyers to, like, oh, well, you know, the legal fees to sue you, you owe us.
Depending on how the judge finds, like, you know, in a lawsuit, a judge can find you liable for the expenses of whoever had to bring the suit against you.
So you've got the high-paying government lawyers that rack up $200,000 worth of services for a $5,000 tax bill, and now you're on the hook.
Right.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
I like the $20 parking ticket.
Like when Bonnie contested her ticket, like the wage of the person who was giving the tickets was revealed during the trial. I think it was $25 an hour.
Right.
I think the ticket was $20, right?
Like,
so like
bucks.
1 hour of this person's time
has cost the city
like. Because now the judge's salary, the prosecutor, the bailiff, right, the people demand the building, the electricity, you know, all that stuff.
The records department and all that.
And so, like, somebody did some napkin math and, like, yeah, this trial alone for Bonnie to contest her parking ticket was something in the, you know, $10,000 range, depending on how you calculate who was all involved and who had to spend time there, what their wages were approximately, right?
Yeah, bring the meter maid in to, you know, testify or whatever.
The meter maid was $25
an hour.
I will leave you with two quotes from the founders that kind of stay with me eternally, but also somewhat applicable here.
Let us hear the quote.
The quote. The tree of liberty will be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. That's the full thing. Patriots and tyrants, not just tyrants.
Right.
Right. So you're going to have to sacrifice a little
bloodshed
bit.
On both sides.
Bloodshed on both sides. So is it going to cost you to go to court? Yes.
Yeah.
That's part of the sacrifice, man. If you're going to fight freedom and fight for liberty, sacrifices must be made. And the second one, in conjunction to that, is the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, which means this goes on forever.
Yep. Right.
Right. The tyrants are not going to stop.
They will not stop.
You cannot stop either. You can burn out. You can leave the state. You can come back in a few years refreshed, you know, after being in Pennsylvania or wherever you have to go to, like, get out of the Free State Project, you know, because you're burnt out doing activism.
Right.
But someone has
to come back.
Someone has to take their place, and you have to come back refreshed.
Right.
Right. You tag out. You tag back in. But the price for the freedom
eternal
that we're trying
vigilance.
To establish is eternal vigilance.
Right.
The struggle goes on, and there's going to be bloodshed on both sides. So, yes, you know, you take one to get one, or you take one to get three, right? If it's going to cost them, you know, $15 an hour to bring all three people in, and it's only costing you, like, half a day's worth of work,
right,
for you to go in, or an hour of your time, right? You're still on the plus side of that equation, even though you're losing, and the hope is that you'll get other people to do that, too, right? So every activist loses a little, and the state loses a lot.
Right. And if you can multiply that by every city... charges for parking or parking ticket.
Or anything.
Well, right. And then when you go to court, you park without paying the meter and then get another parking ticket, and you just keep coming back. It could be a regular thing.
Again, I shared this before. When I was in Hawaii, they passed a law that said, like, no texting while driving.
Oh, yeah.
And people were texting and driving, and they were got caught.
Yep.
And so the court was filled with people who were texting and driving, so much so that they cattle called them. They brought people up like five at a time, and they said,
you all are guilty.
You all are guilty. That's what they said. If you want to challenge this, step back, and we will bring you up separately at a later time. If you're not going to challenge this, your fine is $100, you're out. And then they called five more people up, right? Just five at a time.
And no one stood back.
4 hours in the morning.
No one jumped back.
I saw one, maybe two people stand back to get it.
And if they all jump back.
But if they all jump back, they got to put on a trial for 100 people, right? For a $100 fine. But no, everybody like, I just want to get out of here.
I want to
pay the $100.
Right.
Sorry, sir. You know,
legal at a cost.
It's legal at a cost. But you see, like, the veterans, they show up in their military uniforms, right? And they're like, please, like, have mercy on me. I've served my country.
Right.
Right. And they go, oh, yes, but for your service, you will waive it this time.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever. It's a crock. But that's the thing, right? If everyone takes a step back, they can't do anything.
Right.
They're hamstrung by their own process.
It's like the bug's life.
Yes.
You know, like if the grasshoppers, well, if one ant stands up, they're all going to stand up. And then the jig is up.
Yes, but one ant stands up, right? Like I stand up, I do community service on behalf of the legal entity.
Yeah.
Does that even register in the brains of everyone who comes behind me?
No.
Not a chance.
Right.
Right.
But
they
you need
get
some,
up there,
some mass
they,
thing like that, like the texting and driving.
You need some mass
red
thing.
Light cameras or whatever the case may be.
Well, you need a mass thing, but you need a mass thing where people already know that going in.
I am very surprised that in the age of the internet, particularly early on, do you guys remember flash mobs?
Yeah.
And I was particularly surprised that there weren't more, let's call them political protest flash mobs, where, like, no one knew. It was like the day of, right?
Yeah.
So like, okay, we're doing this thing. Everybody meet at blah, blah, blah at, you know, 7 p.m.
Red Square, yeah, 420.
Flash mob,
the Jefferson Memorial wearing headsets. We're going to dance.
Right.
Yeah.
Flash mob type thing. Like, I'm surprised
they get body slammed by security.
That there wasn't, but, like, I don't know that that was a flash mob, right?
Okay. I mean, it was planned.
It was planned.
Okay.
But, like, I'm surprised that there wasn't more of that, particularly at the peak of flash mobism, if that's a thing.
Well, because they turned it into robbing liquor stores.
Right. So right now, yeah, flash mobs were in Philadelphia, basically
riots, taking
down gas stations. And
I must have missed
stores.
That somehow. Philly?
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I mean, I'm using
not a high crime area anyway. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but now imagine like one guy going like, "Hey, we're going to rob the liquor store at noon tomorrow. Everyone, come join us."
Right. Well, I mean, you see the flash mobs in in California. They run into Bloomingdale's. They take whatever they can. Then they're all out or Apple stores or whatever the case.
Lululemon.
But are those internet coordinated flash mobs?
I mean, they're not coordinated by smoke signal.
They're not?
No. Where have you been, Captain?
They're using modern technology to organize these things. I presume most of that communication goes over the internet.
I just dug a fire pit in my yard for smoke signals.
Oh, so that's how we all know to come here on Sunday night, right? We look at the other.
I'm sure the reservation in North Dakota is ready to get your communique.
They've intercepted smoke signals from the captain. Here they come.
The wind blows too hard, turns a dot to a dash, and the UK is all screwed up.
People go to the wrong place. Why did they flash mob the coffee shop? Circling back to the Florida man arrested for road rage al dente.
Oh, okay.
Forgot all that story, yeah.
Yeah, I know you did. Cops allege that Nolan Goins was involved in a road rage incident over glaring headlights Thursday night. While driving near a St. Petersburg residence, the defendant threw food, pasta with sauce, from the passenger seat of his vehicle, striking the victim through his open window as he operated his vehicle, reported a sheriff's deputy.
So he wasn't even going, he was going the same direction as the guy with the two bright flash lights? Headlights?
Yeah.
Why is that even bothering
him? His passenger side? Like, what, did he get in the other seat and throw it out?
Because if he was crossing paths, he could have just thrown
it out
the driver's
maybe
side.
Maybe he turned around and, you know, there's a couple lanes or something. Yeah. I don't know.
You almost blinded me.
But here, take this, Chef Boyardee.
Have a can of this. Contadina, save me. It's in there. It's like Prego.
It's in there.
Goins was found with the same food stains on his right sleeve as the male target of the pasta pelting.
They did a forensic analysis.
How much did that cost the state?
They got some guy to lick both shirts. Yep, that's the same sauce. Seen at night, Goins was charged with battery, a misdemeanor, and booked into the county jail. Goins, who was freed on a $1,000 bond, is a painting contractor whose rap sheet includes convictions for selling marijuana, obstruction, and battery twice, as well as a multitude of traffic infractions. Investigators.
So he just has road rage.
It sounds like it.
Late for work.
And apparently he's self-medicating with marijuana.
You think that would calm him down?
You would think.
Just let him do the drugs.
It probably does. He probably just wasn't high at the time, right?
Well, if he was high, he wouldn't be throwing away his pasta.
He'd be like, no, man, this is a snack.
Forehead lights.
Oh, my gosh. Investigators did not identify the kind of pasta or sauce used in the alleged attack.
That would destroy the restaurant's reputation.
Right. We're waiting for forensic results.
Or tarnish the brand name in some way. Right. You know?
Prego was used in this one. That Rago gang down the street is going to be furious.
Was it Barilla pasta?
Barilla pasta, yeah, Barilla.
Barilla.
Does it even get any cheaper than that?
I don't know. Barilla gets much cheaper. Barilla's like medium, mid-shelf pasta.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm spending too much.
Probably. It's also unclear if Goins was transporting his dinner or leftovers home or whether he regularly travels so armed.
We want to know. Uber Eats driver, and now there's someone hungry too.
I can't wait for the follow up of this story.
Let's
see what happens.
The smoking gun is on it.
They're on it.
Oh man, food fight, road rage.
Have you ever been in a food fight?
In school, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They used to break out. Not regularly, but like. I distinctly remember a food fight breaking out in like sixth grade in the cafeteria, and you know it was like crappy lunch day anyway. They had something that most people didn't like anyway, and everybody's trying. I don't know about you guys, but when I was in like the middle school, people would barter with their lunches.
Oh, absolutely!
It was currency. You had a dessert, you would try and barter it for somebody else's, like you know, potatoes, or if it was pizza day, you're like, "Can I get half your pizza? I'll give you my cherry tart or whatever." Right?
I want to say two school lunches and five bites just to get an Oreo cookie.
Whoa! Ah.
Like, I bet if you finish this in five bites, you get an Oreo. I'll give you an Oreo.
Deal. And then you did it?
Of course.
Good man. 603-283-6160. Did you get into food fights at your school? Have you thrown food at somebody else on the highway? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Donald Trump heads back to court on Monday. The latest on testimony from Friday at his hush money trial in New York City from USA's Jen Gilber.
During Friday's testimony, his former press secretary revealed the 2016 campaign team entered crisis mode following the release of the infamous Access Hollywood tape in which Trump boasted about grabbing women's genitals. On the witness stand, Hopick stated that Trump initially told her, "That doesn't sound like something I would say."
And today is Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May, today, many Mexican restaurants across our country offering specials on food and drinks. Mystic Dan wins the 150th Kentucky Derby in an insane photo finish. The experts had to examine the video from all three horses who were neck and neck crossing the finish line. Sierra Leone coming in second place, followed by Forever Young. The odds, by the way, for Mystic Dan were 20-1. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Sure it can, but like
it will.
Right, we are here. As a matter of fact,
this is our last segment. So we'll get
we saved the next best
week.
Yeah.
Oh, next week. Okay.
It's Free Talk Live in the studio tonight. It's myself, the Captain,
Steve Classic,
and Richie Rich.
Before we go on, I want to say thank you to Shooty. That's right, Shooty. Shooty is tonight's amplifier. Shooty is a silver level amplifier, which means Shooty gives us $5 a month. Why would Shooty give us $5 a month other than because we're entertaining?
To hear to hear the name pronounced in the the Sean Connery.
Shooty. Shooty is our amplifier. Shooty gives us $5 a month because Shooty likely believes in spreading the message of freedom, which is what we try to do here on Free Talk Live. We try to come at things from the perspective of liberty, peace, prosperity, things of that nature. We try to look at things with logic and reason instead of emotion. And so if you would like to help us get on to more radio stations, help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live, please become an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. It's kind of a Patreon type of a setup. We only ask for $5 a month. You can give more. There's different levels. There's little perks that go along with the different levels.
You should open up a comment section for the platinum level. As long as you're going to read their name, you can read like a message that they'd like to get out there.
Well, I'd rather have people call.
I get it.
We used to have the amp-only call-in line, but now that's homogenized with the regular call-in line. So, yeah. At any rate, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Shooty. We appreciate you. All right, let's go to some of your calls and thoughts.
Like, you don't have to call in and say, like, one line. Like, shout out
you
to
get
Bob.
The you get the captain's cell phone number.
Well, let's not get too carried away.
Hey, when you're running Richie Talk Live, you can do that. Let's go to your calls
and
thoughts.
Don't make me compete with you in the free, fair market.
We have Shane calling from Tennessee. Shane, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I just figured I'd call in and give you an update since the last time I called.
Can you recap the last time you called for the listeners who didn't hear?
And the first time you called.
Yes. So, well, the first time I called, that was the first time I called. Oh, okay. This is my second call.
Update,
but the
update.
First time I called, I wanted to make sure that y'all were not an AI put in by the government to track us all down, you know?
I'm pretty sure I'm not.
only the songs I produce for Chronic Callers.
Ah, okay. Well, I, as I told you before, I was recently released from federal prison. I'll talk to you about that and some of the things that went on in the federal prison, because I know a couple of your guys went to prison.
Yep.
Over some stuff. Right?
All right.
Over nonsense.
Yep. Over nonsense. Yep.
In our case.
Yeah. Over nonsense. So after that call, about, I don't know, a month or so later, the Halfway House, which is, you know, supposed to be a nonprofit organization that houses prisoners to help them readjust back into prison, decided to violate me, and they sent me to the Memphis penal farm for 65 days. That was the end of my time. So I was on March 21st. I was completely released except for my probation.
Okay.
So now the phone I'm calling you on has government monitoring software on it.
Oh, good.
So everything I do, text, chat, email, whatever, it all gets sent to this company and then gets sent to the probation officer so they can review it and make sure I'm doing nothing illegal.
Hey, everybody say hi to the feds.
Hey, hello. Hey, how are you? Hope you're having a good time.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So when I got out of the penal farm, the probation office paid for me to stay in this other halfway house for 3 months, and this place is a dump. This place is run by some former bosses who charges these guys $900 a month to stay here.
Wow.
And 80% of their food stamps the first month, and then $150 a month for the rest of the months that they're here. And he feeds them cereal in the morning, bologna sandwiches for lunch, and then usually just some stored together kitchen sink stuff for supper.
You know, this reminds me of foster care, where somebody decides to get on the government gravy train, collect a check from the government of one flavor or another to provide some sort of a service, but to maximize their profits, of course. They do things like you describe where, you get the cheapest, worst experience that you could have.
Yep. So he gets $900 from 25 guys that stay here a month, plus the food stamps.
So what's the alternative?
For me and a lot of the guys that are here right now would be living on the street. They have about four blocks away, there's a place called Tent City.
Okay.
Where a bunch of homeless live. And that's the only other option.
A lot of the guys famous here, Queensryche song, Tent City Women.
Okay. So, I mean, I get that it's government run, and I guess it's relatable to foster care, right? But if it's the best alternative you can choose from, right, then is it really all that bad?
I mean, rather than being on the street, it's not that bad, because I've been on the street before. But he's not government. It's not government run. He's a private individual who has it listed as a 501c.
Right.
Well, but if he's collecting $900 a month from the state to care for you,
he's an NGO.
Yeah, I mean, government doesn't actually do anything. They just subcontract all the work to other people.
I get it. But if he's, how do I want to phrase this?
I don't know.
He's the tenants are not paying him, right?
The government is paying.
The government is paying him.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So each of the tenants.
The way it works is when the guys get out of prison. In the state of Tennessee, they have something called a PH program, something that pays for them until they get a job.
Okay.
Once
okay.
they get a job, they have to pay themselves.
Okay.
Or if they're on like disability, like I would say half of these guys are on disability.
So is there no place, if you're paying for yourself, is there no place with cheaper rent than $900 a month and a whole bunch of food stamps? Like, why is the alternative the street?
Well, a lot of places around here won't rent the felons. Okay. The one motel that will rent the felons is $900 a month, too.
Right.
And it's usually full all the time.
Well, so, and like, felons have a much more difficult time finding employment than anyone else.
I get it.
Oh, yeah. I done went to 12 jobs interviews from Indeed.com.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I tell them I'm a felon, I don't ever get a call back.
Yep.
Here's the beauty about low-paying jobs. They're not going to check. You ought to just lie and get caught later after you collect a few paychecks.
That would probably violate the parole. Bid, maybe.
Exactly. In the federal probation, you have to tell the employer that you're on probation.
And they're gonna, if I'm not mistaken, the employer also has to sign a thing, too.
Okay.
Right? That, like, acknowledges that you told them in some way.
All right.
How about exactly. What about creating your own job? Like creating your own business or like, I have no idea. I mean, like any handyman skills or you know, mowing lawns or.
Well, I'm a chef by trade before I went to prison. That's what I did. The biggest thing is before I left prison, I was in a medical transport van and they almost wrecked and it hurt my back. And so now I'm unable to lift anything over 5 pounds right now. So I can get that situation if medical can take care of it or not. But then I have to get insurance, which, you know, right. The government insurance, I don't know what they're going to pay for.
Right. Yeah, I can't, I have no advice for you other than, you know, good luck, man. Like, I feel for you, and I hope you find a way out of your predicament.
Oh, I will. I just wanted to call in, give you all a follow-up and find out how your friends are doing.
Well,
you know, they're doing okay.
Ian has been moved officially into federal custody now. He was only in county custody in New Hampshire for basically this entire time up until a week or two ago. So they finally moved him into the federal facility in Devens, Massachusetts. It's the same facility that Aria is in. However, Aria is in the minimum security, and Ian is not. He's in a higher level of security, so they will have zero chance of, you know, even bypassing each other and waving at each other. Zero chance of any of that. We do expect Aria to be out soon. We don't have an exact date on that yet, but we hope...
less than a month?
Yeah, we hope it's less than 30 days is the current sort of vague description that we can tell you.
Well, I wish them the best, and I hope your listeners support them and keep supporting them. And as soon as I get on my feet, I'll do what I can too.
Right on. And, Shane, feel free to call us and update us again. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah. I just want to say this about felons and employment. Like, there are already enough people having a hard time finding people. And, I mean, businesses can't find enough people to work their businesses. If this guy's a chef and he's any good, I don't care if the chef's a felon. Why should I care if the chef's a felon?
If he wasn't injured, he could probably find a job in a restaurant as a felon. It's the injury that prevents him from working more likely to keep him
out. Because
when he said chef, I'm like, that's easy to get a job as a felon.
Right. But he's not going to be lifting those that Brontosaurus burger that's 5 pounds.
Right, or the, you know, the smallest bag of flour, I think, is 5 pounds.
Construction, day labor, that sort of thing. Like, felons all day.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're injured and you can't lift anything.
Yeah, you can work the salad bar, like,
I don't know if it's still true, but telemarketing used to be like the place that folks like that could go for an instant job. Now, it's tough to make that go, but you can at least collect some sort of a paycheck for doing so. It used to also be commercial fishing. Didn't care, but you had to be physically fit, so if you got a bad back, that wouldn't...
Telemarketing is probably going to be the best bet at this point for him in that realm.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to lift anything.
Yeah.
But the whole setup seems, you know, to me, if it's the best alternative, right, it's like the sweatshop argument, right? Like, this is the best thing they got going, and no one's willing to help do any better, so, like, that's it. Yeah. If you know, if it's like pay this guy, you know, what seems to be, you know, predatory rates, or live on the street, right?
Yeah.
Predatory rates it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you should be thankful that he's there, because if he wasn't there, he'd be on the streets and not have any other options.
Like, the idea, though, of prison, you know, is obviously not being fulfilled, right? And that is that if you do something, somebody convicts you of it, you go to prison, you do your time, you get out, now you should be able to just live a regular life again. No, that's not true. You are literally a prisoner for the rest of your life, even after you get out, because you have that felony on your record, and now you can't do a bunch of things that you could have done without that on your record.
And there's no amount of time that'll get rid of that.
Right. There's no statute of limitations. Right. There's, you know, the,
you know, your record doesn't
petition the governor.
You could, right? You could. Or you could run for governor, I guess. Right? Okay. You know, and then
run for mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut. Hey, you're a felon.
Pardon yourself or something. Right. Right?
You know? Be the mayor of Providence, Rhode Island.
At that point, president.
Well, be the president.
Okay. If I ran for president, I'd pardon a lot of people.
Okay.
Russell Albrecht, Ian Freeman, not necessarily in any order. Julian Assange.
Snowden.
Snowden. What was the other one? The other whistleblower. Roger Ver, not a whistleblower, but I would certainly pardon Roger Ver. A number of people would be on that list, and you know,
all the J6 people.
In fact, I would petition people to, like, hey, send a message to, you know, something, Mark at freetalklive.com. you know, with like, hey, why should we pardon you? You know, that kind of a thing, and collect, you know, and then just go, yep, these. You know,
clean space, scroll. Right? You
know? Start with the list from the Institute of Justice.
Right. Yeah. Among other places. We've got more calls to get to. Let's go over here to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes. I was riding the bus today, and I was talking to the
another one rides the bus.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I was talking to him about my network marketing, and I gave him my business card.
Pyramid schemes on Free Talk Live.
Well, the lady behind me couldn't stand me talking to him about it, so she ran up to the driver and complained about me. I could tell. And then she plugged up her ears, and then she got off the bus stop, next bus stop. So technically, if I'm in the city property bus, I could have that kind of conversation, and nobody could put a stop to me. I think you know, she couldn't complain.
It was probably not why she, like, got off the bus.
Yeah.
That's why she got it. But it's kind of, if I did that at the business, I mean, they could actually complain and tell me to shut up at a restaurant or something. I don't know what the rules are.
Private property versus public property is where you're going with this. Private property, you know, basically the owner, the manager of whatever the property is, a restaurant in your case is what you mentioned, can be like, sorry, well, we don't allow you to solicit or, you know, pimp your products here, and ask you to leave. Whereas on the bus, you know, I'd be careful about saying that there's nothing they can do to shut, like, somebody can shut you up. Whether it's legal or not is a whole different story, right? I'd just be careful about, you know, getting assaulted because you disagree with somebody.
I mean, if you keep the volume down to your table, you know, how many business meetings are had at restaurants?
Well, that's many.
That's that's a restaurant
that's a
feature.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think they're going to kick you out for conducting business there.
Right.
Unless you're walking up to other tables and asking them about your product.
Yeah, I don't. It all depends, but like in this circumstance, I know she was annoyed. She didn't want to hear nothing, but she tried to complain to the bus driver, and then she plugged up all her ears. And she got off the next bus stop.
Yeah, I have a suggestion for you, Sarah. Go out and purchase an inexpensive set of earplugs and carry them with you. And so the next time you're on the bus and somebody, you know, does something like that, you can be like, "Hey, I'm selling these." And you can make a couple bucks off of the person who doesn't want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I just feel from my expression, I don't know if she got off the bus because of my conversation. Obviously, that she didn't believe nothing that I was doing.
I mean, either way, it seems like the most voluntary thing that happened, right? She complained to the bus driver. The bus driver did nothing. she left. You were not reprimanded in any way, and everyone just went on about their day.
And how do you know, Sarah?
I got off like 30 minutes later anyway to my destination. But she got off, I got off in 10 more minutes or whatever. She got off, I got off in five more minutes at my stop, and that was it.
I have a question for you, Sarah. How do you know that she didn't simply go up to the bus driver and look back and go, that's that Sarah lady who calls into Free Talk Live all the time?
Oh, that could be it.
Well, how many people out of New Mexico listen to you guys' show, really?
At least three.
Thousands. Oh. I would say maybe tens of thousands.
Do you have a Geiger counter or something? Do you have
yes, we count all of the Geigers. H.R. Geiger is one.
I mean, there's Sarah, there's David, and what was the other guy's name? Jet. Not Jet, but the guy who went to Ukraine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about him. That's at least three.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, though.
Three doesn't represent 3,000 or 5,000 from New Mexico.
Clearly, you don't know how statistics are.
Or politics.
Or radio.
Or politics, for that matter. Like, does your governor represent everybody in the state?
Kind of majority. So, but the majority, and the same thing with the poll samples, it's a guesstimation, because it's a general, when they ask 100 people, that's supposed to, there's always a margin of error, because there's always that 2%.
That's why it's hard to win at the Family Feud. It's that last answer with only two people said it. I mean,
Sarah, don't you live with somebody, too?
Right.
Who calls in from time to time? So that would be four.
Yeah.
If, because when you call in and you're on hold, you are listening to the show, so that's four at least in New Mexico.
Well, he's not listening, but I wish more people would listen from New Mexico, because I would have more speeding cameras and red light cameras back. It seems like
people are listening.
Well, then here's what you do. You get some business cards that say Free Talk Live and print 603-283-6160 on them and hand them out, and then more people from New Mexico will listen to this show, and then they'll hear what you have to say.
That's a great idea.
I will get in trouble for soliciting if I was to be on a bus route all day long, talking to people all day long from this route, then I can get in trouble, because I'm not having a conversation on my destination. I mean, they could cite me for that. If I'm on a bus route, back and forth, back into the same route for 8 hours.
Just sit in the back of the bus and talk to the degenerates.
I mean, make friends with the bus driver. Be friends with the bus driver. Then he'll just take you around anywhere you want.
I just sit on the bus back and forth for a whole, and then moving my spots around. But see, I sat there. I was talking to the guy that was sitting right next to me, and I got off the spot, and he got up to say that was it. You know, so they can't. I'm just having a conversation with somebody. I'm not running around soliciting.
I mean, keep hustling, Sarah. Get that MLM going, and don't let the haters get you down.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Sarah. Feel free to call us again.
Please call.
Let's go over here to, we've got David in San Francisco. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, hi. I'm glad you were talking about mass transit there. The best way to deal with high gasoline prices right now is to use mass transit. And so many of the right-wing call-in shows are just so opposed to mass transit that they would pay, I don't know how much you're paying up there, but it's over $6 a gallon out here.
I paid $3.35.
Yeah.
Sure, it's crazy.
By having your own vehicle, that's freedom.
Yeah, don't let them take that away.
Also, here, believe it or not, David, a private entity was responsible for the largest reduction in transportation costs. You may have heard of this company. They're called Uber. As a ride sharing app when they came out, the idea was that you're already going from here to here, why not pick up a passenger with you? And that actually did more to reduce congestion and all that stuff than any city's mass transit programs ever have.
Well, that's putting the gasoline on somebody else, but the money...
Well, you're sharing the cost, right? So now all of a sudden your gasoline is cut in half.
No, colony economics, you're in New Hampshire, right? You're one of the 13 colonies. And the
special economics.
The big problem in 1776 was that all of the money was being sucked out of town by the corporation that ran the place. It was corporate state. It was colony economics. And right now, the high gas prices are being sucked either to Houston or to Saudi Arabia. And if you want that money to stay in your county and your state and your region, you can to make sure that there are local jobs, and mass transit are local jobs. The other thing I was going to raise, you were talking with that other guy about the prisons. We used to call that the prison industrial complex.
We still call it that.
Oh, sure, yeah, and for good reason. Because, you know, they come up in many cases, you know, it was totally bogus charges, but they would keep you in forever.
They still do that. In fact, they come up with bogus charges to put you in prison. We talk about Ian Freeman, the founder of this program, very frequently. And, of course, there still has yet to be any legislation written about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So, in fact, anyone who's been prosecuted and jailed for anything related to cryptocurrency should be free until such a time that some legislation is passed and clarity is given. But that hasn't happened. Instead, the government has decided to invent bogus charges that have nothing to do with cryptocurrency to jail way too many people. And thank you for the call, David. We appreciate it.
Roger Ver's case, to charging with tax evasion for years of unpaid taxes after he gave up his citizenship to the United States.
A decade after he gave it up. Like, he planned to give it up. He moved out of the States more than a decade ago.
Right.
Right? And then as soon as he was able to do so, he filed for expatriatism.
Right.
And that was a decade ago when that was finalized. He got
right. But they're saying unpaid taxes for, like, the year 2017.
Well, what they're saying, at least according to my information, what they were saying is that he paid the exit tax.
Yep.
He paid his corporate taxes. Yep. They're just saying he didn't pay enough, that he lied, and so therefore the math is wrong, and he actually owes now another $50 million. It's sad.
Jeez.
We're out of time. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Steve Classic, for joining me tonight.
Thank you,
Mark Edge, for being our producer tonight. If you missed any part of tonight's show, please find the archives over at freetalklive.com and the resources tab. Thanks and peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.